Thank you, Evie, for that song. It made me think about a friend of mine. Years ago, I taught a class that was called When Life is Hard. And it was kind of a class for folks who have been through tough stuff and all kinds of differences and directions. And one of the ladies who took the class had been through a really tough time, Evie, and had really struggled through some things, and she was very active and involved in that class. And at the end of it, I asked them the question, so what have you learned from this class? And this is what Annie told us. In fact, I wrote it down. Judith put it on the refrigerator. We called her Saint Annie after that. She wrote, I have learned that the more I push God away, the more He won't let me go. Isn't that good? And that's what you just said to us. He's been faithful, and He has. You know, one of the things I'm glad about is that church family is not defined by geography. Church family is church family no matter what. And I say that because we've got two members of our church family who are with us today that don't get to be with us a whole lot. John Walker's back there in the back, and we're just always glad when John's up from the coast. So, John, welcome home. We're glad you're back with family. And then here at the front, Emily Johnson is with us. And Emily, of course, now in Louisiana, we're waiting for her to come back to Birmingham. In the meantime, we're glad you're back. So let's just welcome them back. I guess I could welcome the Hopkins from Kentucky, but since we're still in denial, we'll leave that alone. You know, sometimes the smallest prayers can make the biggest difference. There was a couple one time that were really struggling with what they were going to do with their marriage because it seemed as though the only thing they had in common was they liked to fight with each other. They would argue, they would bicker, they would disagree, they would get loud. They just could not get along with one another. And the thing that made it so hard was, and they were both committed Christians. They were among those folks, nobody you know, but those folks that would drive to church together in the morning and till they opened the door and it was, how you doing, brother? Good to see you, sister. How are you? And they struggled and struggled. They both prayed. They prayed fervently that God would do something to mend their marriage. He would pray, Lord, fix my wife. And she would pray, Lord, do something about my husband. And nothing seemed to work until finally they learned to pray the simplest prayer. When they were at the end of their rope, together they prayed this prayer. Lord, we're not asking you to take sides. We're just asking you to take over. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? We're not asking you to take sides. We're asking you to take over. And once they both made the decision, we will surrender to Christ and let Him be the Lord of our home and our marriage. Then God began to mend the things that they had never been able to fix before. Once He was in charge, everything got better. He changed him, He changed her, and He changed them. What was the secret? The secret was surrender. Surrender. Easy to say, hard to do. And yet it may be the single most important decision anyone makes after salvation. After salvation, Lord, come into my heart, wipe away my sins, come and live in me. Maybe the second most important thing to do is to simply say, and Lord, I want you to know, I surrender. You are Lord, and I am not, and I will trust you. Dr. F.B. Meyer told the story of one of his college students who was completely frustrated in his Christian life. As hard as he tried to grow, as hard as he tried to let the Lord have His way in his life, it just seemed like nothing was working. And so finally, he went to the mantle of his home, and he put out a series of cards. Each card had a single letter, and together they spelled out, Let God. Let God. And he began to think to himself, if every time I leave my home, the last thing I do is look on that mantle and remember to let God, then maybe things will get easier for me. And he still continued to struggle in his faith until one day the wind blew through the living room and it blew one of those cards off the mantle. And all of a sudden it said something completely different. Instead of saying, let God, it said, let go. Let go. Surrender. Give the Lord his way in your life. The message had changed, and when it did, it changed the man as well. So how do you do it? How do you practice surrender? As we're looking at what it means to give God his way in our life, what do you do so that you can surrender to the Lord? The Apostle Paul can tell us he discovered that secret when he came face to face with the Lord on the Damascus Road. The passage we read together a few moments ago is a passage about how to practice the art of surrender. You see, his life had reached a crisis point. He had to decide who was going to be in charge of his life. And he, too, prayed a simple prayer. When he encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, when all of a sudden he saw the great light and he heard the booming voice and he had an encounter with Jesus, he, too, prayed a prayer. And his prayer of surrender is the same prayer of surrender that you and I can practice today. And this is his prayer from Acts 9:6. He simply said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's a prayer any of us can pray. It's a prayer any of us can pray at any point in our lives. It is a prayer that is always effective. Lord, what do you want me to do? And in that simple prayer, there are three basic questions you have to ask if you really want the Lord to take over in your life. And I can promise you this, and if you pray that prayer, it can be transformational. So let's look together for a few moments at this simple prayer that Paul prayed in that moment when he had an encounter with Jesus. The first thing he said was this, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Surrender begins by deciding who will come first. The truth is, most of us don't want to pray, Lord, what do you want? Most of the time, what we want to pray is, Lord, give me what I want. Lord, I've been thinking about my life. I'm thinking about the things that are missing. I'm thinking about the things I wish I possessed. I'm thinking about the people I need for you to change. Lord, I'm thinking about how you need to make a difference. And Father, if you would, just give me what I want in my life. The truth is, that's really how we like to pray. Lord, this is what I wish for. This is what I feel like I need. This is what I think you should do because I want you to make me happy. We want our prayers to be like ordering something from Amazon. You know what I mean? You pick out what you want. You choose the color. You choose the quality. You make your order. Or in praying, you say the right words, and the Lord will deliver right on schedule. We really do want to step back and say to the Lord, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I've learned the phrases I'm supposed to pray. I'm going to pray because people have told me that you'll give me whatever I want. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to tell you what I think you should do. And then your side of things is, give those things to me. Well, this may come as a shock to you this morning, but God Almighty is not all that interested in what you want. And just because you want it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So if you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, God's going to give me what I want every time, then this is the point where you go, but it's true. God is really not all that interested in what you want. He's not all that interested in filling your orders. He's not all that interested in providing what you think you need. He chooses to do what is right, not what is comfortable. And it's a good thing, isn't it? Can you imagine what life would be like if God answered every selfish prayer that you prayed? Can you imagine how your life would be different if the Lord just listened to everything you said and provided thoughtlessly whatever it was you wanted? You know, over the years, I couldn't tell you how many times I've prayed those kinds of wish list prayers. And most of the time, the Lord has made the decision to ignore what I told him I wanted him to do. He knew I wasn't praying as much as I was wishing. And when I look back over the years, I generally have one response to all those times when I told God what I needed and God told me no. And that response is, thank you. Thank you for not giving me what I ordered. Thank you for telling me I was going to have to wait. Thank you for making sure that I discovered your will is more important than my will. It's so important for us to remember that we are called to surrender to God's will. Lord, what do you want? Surrender begins when you put God's plan first. It means giving up asking how God can please you so that you can begin to ask, how can I please God? How can God be glorified through my life? I'm praying a simple prayer. My prayer is, Lord, what do you want? Because I'm surrendering to your will. And that's what Paul had to learn on the Damascus Road. Up to that point, he'd pretty much followed his own plan for his life. He had it all charted out. He was going to become one of the greatest rabbis in the nation of Israel. He was going to be one of those people that everybody came to seeking out his wisdom. And he was also going to be one of those people who was very bitter in his life and very angry at people to the point that he wanted to persecute believers. He thought he had it all figured out because, after all, he was a high achiever. He'd moved to the front of the line. The problem was, Paul was in the wrong line. And if he had gotten what he wanted, it would have destroyed him morally, personally, spiritually, and eternally. Paul's life would have been lost if he'd gotten what he wanted. Jesus literally changed the direction of his life. There are all kinds of things you can say about the Apostle Paul. We know as much about him as a believer as we know almost anyone described in the Bible. One thing we know for sure is the man who made his way to Damascus, blind and depending on other people, was not the person who had set out on that journey. He was absolutely transformed because he prayed the prayer, Lord, what do you want? I'm ready to do things your way. I surrender. The path of surrender always begins with the decision, I will give God whatever he wants with my life. I will go where he wants me to go. I will do what he wants me to do. I will live as he wants me to live. I will trust him in all things because more than anything, I want him to be pleased with the way I live my life. It's not about me. It's all about him. So that's the first thing that it means when you think about praying that prayer, Lord, what do you want? The second thing is this. You have to ask that question, Lord, what do you want? If I'm going to surrender to you, Lord, what do you want? What does that mean? This is a choice to get specific about surrender. What do you want me to do? If you're in charge, then where are you directing me? What are you telling me? Who are you pointing me toward? Lord, I want to know specifically, what do you want? That's where you get specific with Christ. Listen to me. One of the most useless decisions that anybody can make in their spiritual life is this. I'm just going to turn it all over to Jesus. How often are we guilty of praying that prayer? Lord, I'm just going to turn it all over to you. Now, why is that a useless decision? Because it really doesn't mean anything. If we just kind of generally and openly say, God, I'm going to give you everything, you know what that means? That means we don't have to struggle with what that means, what it means to surrender. The problem with all is that it doesn't actually require you to do anything. When Paul prayed, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" he was asking for specific direction. Here I am, I'm helpless. Here I am, I've been stricken. Here I am, not sure what to do next. Lord, I know my whole life has exploded in front of me, but I also know something incredible has happened inside of me. And now that you've changed me, how are you going to change my life? Lord, what do you want? One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. But maybe what the Bible really means when it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, is in each and every way. In each and every circumstance, in each and every decision. Trust the Lord. Bring each and everything before Him, and He'll direct your path. He'll show you what He wants you to do. One of the most important things we can do is decide in a very specific way, I will trust the Lord. I'll never forget one year in a youth camp. We were there. We'd come to the end of the week. Friday night was decision night. And so many kids had been touched by God that week, and they were streaming toward the front. And they came to the guy who was our preacher for the week, and they would say, I just want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. And he did the wisest thing I'd ever heard, because he would take each one, and when they came forward and they said, I want to rededicate my life to Christ, I want to live for Jesus from now on, he would say, okay, now specifically, what does that mean? And before he would let them go, they would have to say, this is what I think God wants to do in me. Sometimes we need to face the Lord, and we need to face Him in exactly that same way. So specifically, what does that mean? If I'm going to live for Christ, what is in my life that needs to go? Because until it goes, I can't really surrender to Jesus. What's not there that I know God wants to bring into my life, but I've been holding it off, but I need to let go and let it come in if I'm going to surrender to Jesus? What is it that God wants to do through me, specifically through me, in order for me to be surrendered to Jesus? Surrender begins when you're ready to be specific with the Lord. But you need to be warned. If you seriously ask God that question, you also give up the right to tell Him no. You can't say to Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And have a specific answer come from the Lord, and then to say to Him, well, I was just interested. Just kind of wanted to find out what you would say. I'll let you know whether I'm going to do it or not. When God deals with us personally and specifically, one of the things that He's doing is He is saying, this is what I want you to do. And if you're called to preach, that means you're called to preach. If you're called to teach, that means you're called to teach. If you're called to serve, it means you're called to serve. If there's someone that God wants you to share your faith with, He will put their name in your mind and in your heart. If there's some way that you can do something for Him, He will let you know. Once you pray that prayer, let me know what you want me to do. But I don't have the right to tell you no. You tell me, I'll do it. And that's exactly what happened in Paul's life. Paul had no idea what was coming his way when he prayed that prayer. He had no idea that God was going to make him the first missionary in the history of the world. He had no idea that he was going to be establishing churches all over the known world at that time. He had no idea the things that God was going to allow him to do. And he also had no idea the suffering that would be in front of him. He had no idea the number of jails he would spend the night in. He had no idea how many times he would be punished for carrying the name of Jesus. What he did know was this: I've already sealed the deal with the Lord. I have said to you, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And the rest of his life was living out that act of surrender. Because that's what happens when you ask that question: Lord, what do you want? There's a third question that you have to ask. Not only do you say, what do you want? Not only do you say, what do you want? You also have to pray, Lord, what do you want? Surrender is always personal. Not one of us in this room this morning can say to us, Lord, what do you want for her? Lord, what do you want for him? Lord, what do you want for those other people? That's not the prayer we pray. We pray, Lord, what do you want with my life? It's always about my personal surrender. You're not surrendering to God's will. You're surrendering to him. You're not saying, Lord, tell me what do you want so then I'll know your will and then I can do it. What you're really saying is, Lord, what do you want me to do? I belong to you. You use me. Verse 5, Saul cried out and said, who are you, Lord? And he heard a voice from heaven, I am Jesus. In that short prayer, Paul settled the most important issue. Who are you, Lord? You see, the entire prayer was not, what do you want me to do? The whole prayer was, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, because I've settled that issue in my life. Lord, because I belong to you. Now, tell me what you want me to do. Throughout the Bible, Christ made the spiritual life very simple. This is what he says. In every life, he is either Lord or he is nothing. He is either Lord or he is nothing. He never negotiates what it means to follow him. Surrender doesn't mean that you come to him and say, in this part of my life, I surrender. And in this part of my life, I surrender. But this part and this part and this part, I reserve those for myself. Surrender begins when you let the Lord become your Lord. It means hungering for a deep, personal relationship with Christ. Why would he travel the world sharing the gospel? Why would he endure persecution and suffering? Why would he do the things he did across his lifetime? Very simply, because my Lord told me to. Because this is where my Lord led me to be. And this is how I serve my Lord. This morning, I tell you that the surest way to the center of God's will is surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord. And when your personal trust is in a personal Savior, then you can be secure no matter what may come your way. Everything changes when you've made the decision that Jesus is Lord. If you've been paying any attention at all to the news the past few days, you know that something very special is going on in England these days. 70th anniversary of the Queen. Can you imagine that? 70 years as head of state. And we've watched all of the the pageantry and all of the things that have taken place around this celebration. And I was watching a little of that yesterday, and it reminded me of a story that I read a long time ago. It goes all the way back to World War II and to that time when London was under attack and when the bombs were falling, the Battle of Britain was taking place, and that was the darkest days of the city of London. And there came that point where the king made the decision, it's time to take all of the children out of the city. They sent the children all over the place where they could stay in farmhouses and with families all around the country where they would be safe and secure from the bombs. And among those who were being evacuated was a little girl and her brother. And they boarded the train, leaving their home, waving at their parents, not even sure quite where they were going. The little girl turned to her brother and she said, "I'm afraid. I don't even know where we'll be next." And this is what he said. He said, "I'm scared too. I don't know where we're going. But the king knows. And we can trust the king. We don't have to worry." Isn't that good? "I don't know either. But the king knows. And we can trust the king. So we don't have to worry." And that's the secret to surrender. We don't have to know it all. We don't have to control it all. We don't have to understand it all. We just have to trust the king. That's surrender. So how can you know that you've come to a point that you trust the king? It's pretty simple. You pray this prayer. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then you trust him and you follow. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That means a lot of things to a lot of people. There are some folks who may be here today and you're not a believer. You've never trusted Jesus. The truth is, you don't have an eternal hope, but you need it. And it could be that today, when you ask God the question, "What do you want me to do?" His answer is going to come back very clearly. He's going to say, "I am Jesus, and you need to trust me as your Lord." And maybe today, as we sing our invitation hymn, and we'll all be standing, and I'll be at the front, Dr. Hutchins will, that you'll just come forward and say, "If you'll help me, I want to trust Jesus. Because I know that's what he wants me to do." It may be that there's some here today, and the answer to that question, "What do you want me to do?" is, "I want you to be part of what I'm doing at First Baptist Church. I want you to bring your membership to this place and commit yourself to serving me here." And you'll need to walk the aisle, and you'll need to come and say, "Today is the day when I commit myself to serving God through First Baptist." But it may also be that that very personal answer to that very personal prayer is a very specific thing that God is doing in your life. It may be something you've been struggling with. It may be one of those times when you know it's time for me to surrender. And when I pray that prayer, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I know exactly what his answer is. And maybe today you just need to come and say, "God's at work in my life. This is what he's doing. Pray for me." And you need to come and do that. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God moves in your heart, you come. Let's stand.